Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. One of the things that we've been focused on, and one of the aspects of that is the corruption of our minds. You know our minds are corrupted, don't they? We know that our minds are corrupted. God made us perfect. How did our minds get corrupted? Well, Eve blew the whole thing. That's what it was. You know it is Adam who's blamed, isn't it? It is Adam because of the leadership that he had and the circumstances that God holds him accountable to. That it is because of Adam's sin that we're not perfect anymore. Our bodies, they're not as strong as they used to be, not as flexible as they used to be. Our minds in the same way are not as perfect and pure as they were created to be. And because of that, the purity of our mind and of our hearts has been tarnished. It's been made terrible, ruined, destroyed. We saw from the scriptures that because of that, we have in our minds ideas. The world, the unsaved world has ideas. And those ideas are at war with God's plans, God's will. Because we are in this world and are influenced by it, one of the things that happens is that we start thinking the way the world thinks. How do I know that? Well, all you have to do is look around at the way the Christians live their lives. We live our lives in such a way that it becomes obvious that we're influenced by it. The closer relationship we have with the world, the more we will reflect it. The closer relationship we have with God, the better we will reflect Him. You've been married for umpteen years. We've got a number of couples. How many couples here have been married for at least 50 years? Let me see your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six couples. Five. I count. Ray's back. He's married to her. So I counted them as one. Five couples that are 50 years or more. You know, I bet if you were to really evaluate your lives, even those of us that have been married, say I'm 15 years, be 16 this year, been married a number of years, you notice that you've picked up some of the habits of your husband or wife, haven't you? They've molded you a certain degree. You're not right like each other, exactly like each other, but many of the things you've picked up from one or another, good or bad. Why? Because of the close relationship that you have with each other. And having that close relationship, you rub off on each other. Same with the world in our lives. Look at our world. And look at the tolerance we as Christians have. Let me give you an example. The Puritans back in the day, 1700s, 1500s, 1600s, 1700s. The ladies here, if you were like the Puritans, you would have collars all the way up. You'd all be wearing turtlenecks. And all of you would have sleeves down to the wrist. And not one piece of garment would come above the top of your shoe hardly. Why? Well, because we know that the less skin you see of a woman, the better. Well, that's not quite right. That doesn't sound right. That was the thinking, though. Why? Well, we talked a little bit about the Puritans. Why did they do some of the crazy things they did? In our eyes, they wanted to honor God. How can I honor God by the things I do, whether it's commanded or principled in Scripture, as hey, this is the way who God is, and these are ways you can honor Him, or just simple wisdom from God's Word. When Adam and Eve sinned, They both recognized they didn't have any clothes on. Now, what happened before and after that? Before that, they did not have any clue that they didn't have no clothes on. Was it there was no cool breeze? No. When man sinned, we corrupted ourselves, even our mind. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort in the name of the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more just as you receive from us how you ought to walk to please God. For you know that what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, that your sanctification." Sanctification is viewed in three different ways in the scripture, the past, present, and future. We have been sanctified by Jesus Christ when we put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. That is, we've been washed clean before God. We are in the process, present sanctification. Here, this is what he's speaking about. That we are continuing and striving to live more and more like Christ. We're to be less like the sinfulness of the world and more like the glory of Jesus Christ. And then he says, and then there's a future when we shall be sanctified, and that's when we stand, when we're actually in heaven, and sin has nothing to do with us anymore. Not just that it shouldn't, but there is no connection we have with sin whatsoever. The glorious day that will be. He says, "The will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that you should know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." We look at these verses and they're not unfamiliar to us, something you've been brought up with. But the world makes an impact. Observe here, George Barna, he says in a report, he says, "The United States has created a moral system based on convenience, feelings, and selfishness." And here on the board you see a picture of of a survey of what people thought about sin. And he compares those that he calls the mosaics, which are those from 18 to 24. This was taken back in 2008. And those who are the baby boomers, that was the ages of 46 to 62 back in 2008. Here we go. How did they practice? Did they practice swearing in public? The baby boomers, 19% did. Look, 64% do now. Morality sure has changed, hasn't it? Sex outside of marriage, that would be before or not with your wife. That would be quite a difference there. 4% for the baby boomers, 38% for the young generation, 18 to 25. Isn't that astounding? That used to be something that was embarrassment. That used to be something that people just didn't do. There is a sanctity in marriage. Not so much anymore. Likely to lie, you see that one there. Much more likely to lie for the younger than for the older. To gossip, more likely. And then to view pornography, about twice as much for the younger generation than the older generation. Clearly our society has changed. It's made its influence on our own society, its impact. We are to live lives that are pleasing to God. It says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." You're becoming more and more like Christ. However, what is happening is something quite different. We find that sin is infiltrating our minds and perverting the way we think about others. It's mostly men we think of, but an article I read said that women are even more so getting themselves in trouble with their minds when it comes to immorality. First point here, as we look at what's said here about sexual immorality, we might ask ourselves, how do we prevent ourselves from doing so? Like a statement that was made by Mrs. Donna Rice Hughes, who's the president of Enough is Enough, a Virginia-based nonprofit that works to make the internet safer for children and families. She says this, if you don't think you can fall into any kind of sexual temptation, you're either godlier than David, wiser than Solomon, or stronger than Samson. If you know those names at all, David, of course, had adultery with Bathsheba. Solomon had adultery with 999 other women. Samson, his strength didn't help him, and it was because of his lust after a woman that he got himself into trouble with God and with the people there. We need to be wise and recognize temptation is a real thing. So how can I avoid these temptations? First point here, keep your eyes on the road. I associated this with being on the road. The reason I did is because guys like to be on the road. They like to look at that 2014 red Corvette Stingray. My father-in-law was in town. He said, Corvettes didn't, I thought they were pretty neat, but they weren't, top-notch for me. But he and I agreed that we're going to have to pool our money together, a whole lot of money, and be able to buy the 2014 Stingray, because it's pretty sharp-looking. It's only 450 horsepower. Just think of how quickly you could do visitation that way. Trips to camp, boy, I'll tell you right now. What do we need to do in order to avoid these temptations? Many of the testimonies that I've heard, not from anyone here, many of the testimonies that I've heard on the radio or that I've read in books, the testimony was, I never would have cheated my wife. Never would. But then they got themselves involved with pornography. They got themselves involved with the wrong kind of people. Got their hearts attached to someone else they shouldn't. And it ended up in bed with them. We need to keep our eyes on the road. Donna Rice Hughes says, pornography is the drug of the millennium. It's more addictive than crack cocaine. It says the ease of it now, because you can just jump on the internet and get it. The ease of it is such that it is more and more addictive. One report said there's 1.3 million pornography sites available. In the U.S. alone, in 2006, the revenue was $13 billion, which makes it larger than Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, and Earthlink all combined together. Well, that's something, isn't it? To know that it is there that way. So what do we need to do? Keep our eyes on the road. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He says here that it is God's will for our sanctification. Our sanctification means becoming more like Christ. How do we do that? What's part of that? He continues and said, you should abstain from sexual immorality. The NIV says avoid. And I was talking to Pastor Jeremy yesterday about this passage. And he said that Winter Games, he agreed with me that avoid is an okay word, but as I look at the Greek, abstain is the idea. The word abstain doesn't say you probably shouldn't do this. The word abstain says this will kill you, right? He says stay away from it. think about them beautiful poison pills you have down under the kitchen sink so you can kill the mice, the rats, or at some time when you're tired of him. No, no, no. Don't do that. That poison there is not for human consumption. And if you eat it, you will die. The mice die, you will die. Therefore, you know, well, I'm not going to have any of that. When you put your eyes on things you should not, you kill your heart before God. Not literally, but spiritually. You say, God, you're not as important to me as the pleasure I get from looking at this. He says, abstain from sexual immorality. Avoid, stay away from it as much as you can. And don't get involved in it. He says that each of you said should possess his own vessel, his own body, in sanctification and honor. You know, a person that respects themselves, in a matter of speaking. You go out and you see different people and notice how they're dressed. If you got somebody who's dressed real sloppy, their pants are down to their knees, and they look like they just kind of rolled out of bed and threw something on. Once in a while we do that. Oh, maybe we're not feeling well. But you see those people and you think to themselves, they don't look very respectable. However, you go in and you see somebody who's dressed real nice. Maybe she's got a pantsuit on. Maybe he's got a tuxedo on or a suit of some sort. And you look at them and you say, well, look at that. They look very sharp. They must be an important person. Or maybe they just enjoy the way that to dress nice, to make themselves very presentable. And you observe that. We need to make sure that our minds, our bodies were taken care of, not just by what we put on the outside, but what we do with our bodies. And here, relationship to sexual immorality. He says, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles. What's the passion of lust of the Gentiles? Let me give you an example. You ever watch TV? Yeah. The Super Bowl is coming. And you know what the hard part about watching the Super Bowl is? The commercials. I used to watch the Super Bowl for the commercials because they were the most entertaining. Now, more and more, they're the most revealing. In order to sell a car, in order to sell insurance, in order to sell beer, in order to sell about anything, you have a lady that has less clothes than probably she should have on. Why? In case, ladies, you are a little ignorant. Men like that stuff. Just a reality check for you. Okay? Why do you think the Bible instructs women to dress modestly? To not be showing more than they should. Men have sinful minds even as you ladies have sinful tongues. It's a generalization, I know. But you have to go to the barber shop. I don't know what you go to. The beauty shop. You have to go to the beauty shop and you have to talk about this person at church or that person at church or this person at work or that person at work. Gossip, right? Well, the reality is men are attracted to things that look nice. Therefore, men have to work hard, even as if you have to work hard, to guard our minds and hearts. We have to take care of our eyes. The passionate lust of the Gentiles you see everywhere. You can't hardly pick up a magazine, drive down the road, or even wave at your neighbor at some time. My neighbors are decent, which is nice. I got an older one on the other side, and then a young guy on the other hand. We've got we've got to make sure that we are presenting ourselves well and we're not living according to the passionate desires of the people. Where does this go to? Many Christians today don't have a problem with having sex before marriage. Now, that doesn't sound right to you because you were taught differently. I was talking to someone and they said, but, you know, we want to make sure we work out together well before we get married. I don't know what marriage is then. We find that there are more and more, I've talked to some people personally or heard of some pastors where they say, I don't have any deacons. The reason is they're not qualified. They've not been one women men. And that's heartbreaking. Why does that happen? Because it's more and more in our society, and we have to guard our eyes from it. What we watch on TV, what we watch in movies, what we watch on the internet, or any of that. Along with this, we need not only our eyes, but our mind, the things that we think. Keep our mind on the journey. We put our mind on Christ rather than on the things that we shouldn't. And this doesn't apply just with purity. These things apply with really anything, don't they? Anything kind of sin. We find here, he says that we need to, our sanctification and not having passionate lust like the Gentiles do. In verse 6, he goes on, no one should take advantage or defraud his brother in any manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, that we should be forewarned, that as we have forewarned you and testified, for the Lord does not call us to uncleanness, but holiness. And that holiness is of the body and of the mind. In Romans 12:2, how should our minds think? Not being conformed to what this world, it says, is acceptable. Not being conformed to the way this world says, hey, this is right or this is wrong. But looking at the scriptures and coming up with what God says for how we should live our lives in such a way to honor Him. Be not conformed to this world in Romans 12:2, but that being transformed by the renewing of the mind. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. It was yesterday that Pastor Keith Hunt gave the challenge at Winter Games from Colossians chapter 3. From there, to set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. That is, we need to have a mindset where our focus is on what God wants us to do rather than just what our own appetites want us to do. The lust, whether the lust of the eyes, the things that I want, whether it is like women or pornography, or if it's, I have to say it, red Corvettes, or it's food, or whatever it is, our minds need to be set on heavenly things rather than earthly things. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, it says, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you may approve those things that are excellent. How do you know what's excellent? You look to God's Word. And then you look and compare it with the world or what's going on around you. And you say, wait a minute, that doesn't meet God's standards. That doesn't make you all uppity up. Well, that's not good enough, and that's not good enough, and that's not good enough for God. Because somebody's going to look at you and say, you're not good enough for God either. There's grace involved, but what you're doing is you're protecting your heart. You're protecting your mind. What kinds of things you put into your mind. You know the old phrase, garbage in, garbage out. It's true. When the computer doesn't work, do you know why? Because it's been programmed to do certain things. And that certain thing is not what you want it to do. But it's not programmed to do what you want it to do. So you get frustrated, but the fact is, that's what it's programmed to do. It will only do what it's told to do. You tell yourself to do or to enjoy certain things that God says not to, you can get yourself in trouble. You put things into your mind in that maybe are not bad, but become that way because they overwhelm your mind. If my heart and thought was only on that 2014 red Corvette, then guess what? I might find some way I can get the $1 million it takes to get the really souped up one. We need to be careful what overtakes our mind. We need to keep our eyes on the road. We need to make sure that we keep our eyes on the road. We need to ensure that we keep our mind on the journey, and we need to make sure our hands stay on the wheel. How does a person get from being one that's faithful to God to committing adultery? Real simple. They start with their eyes and their minds, and then it turns out they don't keep their hands. As I tell the teens, keep your hands in your own pockets. All right? Sometimes I tell my kids that. We go to the store, and they want to touch everything. I said, put your hands in your pockets. Sometimes they're picking at you, put your hands in your pockets. Why do I tell them that? Can't get themselves in trouble that way. We need to be careful and guard our hearts. Otherwise, we won't keep our hands on the wheel. We won't be doing faithfully what God wants us to do, which is to be faithful to Him and to, if you're married, to your spouse. It says here, God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who also has given us His Holy Spirit. We're looking at Titus in the evening, and we've looked at the fact that there are those who go out and teach things by men. Would you say the Bible calls it a sin for a man to live with a woman, and they're not married? I hope you said no. The Bible doesn't teach that. Nowhere in the fact, the Bible even talks about unmarried men being with unmarried women in the same house, living in the same house. I want to clarify. You know where Elijah stayed, right? Elisha the same. They were in the same house. Oh, well, that's different. It was a prophet's quarters. No, not really. They didn't stay in the same room. That's true. But they were in the same house. So what we have done is we have said, well, the Bible says this when it doesn't, and then we become guilty of teaching what the Bible does not, and so we are the ones that are the false teachers. And we can go back to the false teachers and say, that applies to us. Now hold your horses, because you're getting a little nervous, I can tell. Because the Bible doesn't explicitly say I shouldn't, does that mean it's something I should do? Consider the wisdom of it. There are times and places where there will be a family and they will adopt, in a manner of speaking, somebody into their home. That's part of Christian love. We find that in the scriptures. If someone needs some help, you invite them in and help them. They need a place to stay, if they need clothes, they need food. But in our culture and today, a guy and a girl think that they need to live in the same house. And not just in the same house, sleep in the same bedroom. And not just sleep in the same bedroom with two separate beds, Dick Van Dyke, but in the same bed. Now, let's say they kept their hands in their own pocket. Is it sin? Well, technically no. But can he get much closer to it? Proverbs says, can a man put fire in his lap and not get burned? There are things that we do and standards that we have as a Christian family and as individuals Because we don't need to go down that line. Technically speaking, to see a woman who has no clothes on is not sin, but to lust after her is. Does that mean you work at some place where, as a guy, where the ladies are not covered? You have to be on drugs, right? You set those boundaries. You abstain from it. You stay as far away from it as we can. Here's the deal. As Christians, we have to, sometimes based on our own personality, put up certain borders. Sometimes, because always, let me clarify, when the scriptures say this is sin, or by biblical principle, you don't want to cross this line, we set boundaries for ourselves. Some of you feel uncomfortable driving a lady who's not your wife, and she's the only one in the car, have a problem driving her someplace, giving her a ride somewhere. Others of you wouldn't have that problem at all. Sometimes because of the friendship relationship, sometimes because the way you've been brought up, whatever. Is one wrong over the other? Not necessarily. But the one says, I've set this boundary and I should not cross it. And the other one says, well, I don't have a problem with that as long as there's, you know, real clear boundaries of what's happening, real clear understanding of what's going on. We need to be wise with our minds and our hearts when it comes to the things that we look at. Should I tempt myself or be a temptation to some? I know it's hard to believe I'm not a temptation with all these giant muscles I have, but should I be a temptation or should I tempt myself by being certain places or watching certain things or looking at certain things? No! I should stay as far away as I can from it. When it comes to the things that I think about, when I think about, speaking as a man, when I think about women, how should I think of them? The utmost respect. As Paul tells Timothy, for those that are older as mothers, practically, and for those that are younger as sisters. When I look at what the scriptures say about where my hands should be, there's no question about that. Anytime I shake your hand, put my hand on your shoulder, I strive to be of the utmost modesty and respect of who you are as ladies. Why? Because of what God says. Training my mind, my heart, we have to do it, whether it's with lust, which he's talking about here, or whether it's talking about any other thing. What kinds of things draw you in? Alcohol. Maybe food. Gluttony. Maybe it is covetousness, going down the mall and saying, well, I have to buy this, I have to buy this, I have to buy this. Maybe it's worry. Yeah, that's one of those things too. So you keep yourself at the appropriate distance from the sin to avoid it. You're on TV, you're flipping through, and you come to a channel where there's the, what's it called now? The lingerie show. Victoria's Secret lingerie show. That goes on the TV. I don't know why it has to be on TV, but that's on TV every year. I have no clue when, because I have no interest in it. Why? I'm building a no interest in it. And that comes on TV. You go through, you're going through that night, and it comes on, and what do you, you're like, whoa! You know the first thing to do is change the channel, right? Not say, honey, come look at this. Kids, come see what I saw on TV. No, you know, you're going to be on the TV. You know what to do when those temptations or those sights or sounds come to your mind or come to your eyes. Go on through. We need to make sure that we are guarding our hearts here, God's will is for us to be sanctified. And if we are not doing what God called us, not to uncleanness in verse 7, but holiness, if we think, well, that's for them back in that day, he says here, you're not rejecting man, you're not rejecting what I'm saying, Paul says, you're rejecting God. Words that I'm saying is that, well, this is a good idea, it would be helpful and beneficial for you. No, these words are the words of God. We need to be on guard. Do you think Satan is taking a rest because, well, he can't get you to go to hell because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You're already on your way to heaven, so he's going to leave you alone? No, he wants to destroy you and your testimony. And so he's going to work and work and work and work at it. He doesn't quit. So what are you going to do? You're going to obey God, draw closer to Him, live in holiness. Why? Because you want to honor Him. This morning, we've looked at an issue of today, the fact of the rampant immorality. The images, the practices, the compromises that are made. And you know what needs to happen? We need to obey God. We need to make sure that we're guarding our hearts, we're guarding our minds, so that way we don't get ourselves trapped into those things that would destroy us spiritually and can even destroy you physically. Make sure you're on guard, whether it be the sins of the eyes, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would help us that we might keep ourselves pure before you.